Meet Me Under the Mistletoe by Dr. Pansy Parkinson. Thank Merlin for warming charms, eh? Neville said, rubbing his mittened hands together as he trailed after Hagrid. The large man was pulling a wagon full of boxes toward the greenhouses. Some plants didn't respond well to magic and needed to be moved by muggle means. Decorating Hogwarts for the holidays required an immense amount of greenery, and this was Neville's first year without Professor Sprout by his side to guide him. An unfortunate case of blight had struck the mistletoe, but he had been determined to make sure the castle was suitably festive this year and had found a greenhouse able to supply some additional plants. This holiday was going to be perfect. It had to be. Neville tapped his hand over the breast pocket of his work robes. There, tucked safely next to his heart, was the little gold ring with moss green agate he planned on giving to Pansy Parkinson for Christmas. They had been dating since he first came back to Hogwarts as an assistant professor, and she was working under Madame Pomfrey as a healer trainee. Now, they had both taken over for their mentors. She slept over in his small cottage nearly every night, and he was ready, willing, desperate to take the next step forward for them both. Marriage and children. He could imagine a little girl or boy with her upturned nose and her attitude, and he longed for it. This Christmas was going to be perfect. He was determined. Hagrid helped him unload the crates into Greenhouse 3 so he could begin sorting through the plants and make sure they had survived the journey. He used a large crowbar to open the crates and began slowly easing plants out onto the table, examining their leaves and soft buds. Sweat dripped from his brow as he worked in the warm, humid environment of the greenhouse. The air was so stagnant he immediately felt the change in temperature when the door opened, letting in a blast of cold air.
"Professor Longbottom," Pansy called out. "I was hoping to come pick a few medicinal herbs. I seem to be running low."
Neville turned, watching her walk towards him. Gods, he didn't know how she did it, but even in her prim and proper healer's robes, she looked devastatingly beautiful. He couldn't help it, and grinned at her.
"Professor, eh?" Neville asked,
wiping his dirty hands on the front of his canvas apron. He muttered a quick scourgify under his breath, hoping it would get the dirt under his nails and embedded into his skin. His hands itched to touch her.
"Just trying to be professional while we're at work, darling," she said,
though her cheeks turned a lovely shade of pink as she smiled back at him. She stood up on her tiptoes to give him a chaste peck on the cheek, and he wrapped his arms around her, turning his head to capture her mouth in his. He licked at the seam of her lips, urging her to open for him. She did, gently kissing him back, before nipping at his bottom lip. One of the things he adored about her was the dichotomy she held within her. Sweet and spiky, a beautiful flower with sharp thorns you had to know how to hold. He stepped back from her then, and pulled out a pair of silver shears from his apron pocket to help her trim the herbs. But before he moved away from the table, one of the mistletoe blooms he'd been separating lifted up its large white blossom and shot a wad of pollen onto them both. Pansy scrunched her nose up in disgust at the mess.
"Should I be concerned about my robes?" Pansy asked,
taking her wand to siphon away the pollen.
"Will this stain? These are acromantula silk, darling."
Neville stared blankly at her for a moment, taken in by the strange sight of her trim figure, highlighted by the white pollen, before looking once again at the flowers, a faint ringing sound in his ears. Several more waxy blooms popped up and shot out a stream of pollen at them, creating an even thicker cloud that made it difficult to see. He could feel the blood rush to his extremities as Pansy squeaked in surprise.
"We need to lock the door,"
he gasped, pulling her close. He couldn't help himself and pressed his lips to hers. Groaning into her mouth, he grabbed her arse and pressed her closer to him, already feeling his cock harden at the very scent of her. She moaned as he slid her robes up, revealing the creamy expanse of her thighs. Gods, he could smell her arousal mixed with the fragrance of flowers, and he wanted, needed, to bury his face in it.
"What do you mean?"
He nibbled at her neck, admiring the way her skin turned rosy underneath his bite.
"The fucking mistletoe we were sent. It's Viscum ardoris."
She didn't say anything right away, simply squirmed underneath his attention. He sank to his knees and rested his head against her belly for a moment, breathing out through his nose.
"We need to lock the doors. We're going to want, need, to fuck like mad. If we can get some of this pollen off..."
He trailed off as she lifted her robes up the rest of the way, bearing the tiniest scrap of lace knickers to him. There was a wet patch on the front of the lace already, and he bent down to press his mouth to it, sucking gently at her through the silken fabric. The whining noise she let out went straight to his cock, which throbbed insistently. With every ounce of restraint he had, he reached up and wrapped his hand around hers, where she still held her wand. He muttered a quick charm to lock the greenhouse doors. It wouldn't do for a student to come wandering in to ask a question and find them like this, rutting in the dirt like animals.
Can you manage a Patronus? Tell McGonagall that we'll be busy,
Neville asked, squeezing his fingers around her small ones, feeling the tingle of magic from her wand.
Is it safe?
Pansy gasped, her other hand grasping a handful of his hair and tugging. He nodded, sucking the juices from her wet, warm cunt. He could feel the muscles in her thighs twitch around him. Somehow, she managed to conjure a Patronus, a squat silver toad that hopped out of her wand and eyed them both balefully for a moment, as Pansy attempted to dictate.
We have it under control for now, but we don't want anyone else to be exposed, Pansy said, sighing gently as she finished her breathless message.
Once the Patronus had been sent off, Neville stood up and swept Pansy into his arms, kissing her so hard that their teeth clacked together. She didn't seem to mind. Instead, she licked into his mouth deeply, as if eager to taste herself on his lips.
"Where are we going?"
she asked weakly, nibbling along the underside of his jaw. He didn't answer, instead stopping in front of one of the new irrigation systems he'd designed with Professor Flitwick's help.
"Need to rinse this pollen off,"
he groaned, setting her down on the ground. She clung to him as he tried to turn on the spigot, running her hands up and down his arms in a way that made him tingle.
"You're wearing far too many clothes," Pansy said,
standing before him in only her lace underthings. Neville closed his eyes, whacking the spigot with the flat of his hand to try and get it to turn. If he looked at her once more, he would be unable to focus. His self-control was already hanging by a thread. He wanted, needed, to lay down on the ground and have her ride him until they were both a blubbering mess. But deep inside him he knew they also needed to clean off the pollen, retain some semblance of control. He didn't want to risk hurting her. The water began pouring down from the irrigation pipe above them, and he opened his eyes. She'd removed the last scraps of fabric and was bare, the cool water streaking down her skin. Neville reached out a finger and traced a droplet down her breast, circling around her brown nipple.
"You're so fucking beautiful," he whispered,
unable to concentrate now as desire ran through his veins.
I can't hold back any longer, Pans."
"I didn't ask you to."
He shoved his pants down and pulled off his shirt, unable to take his eyes off her now. She was light, warmth, the sun, everything. She wrapped her arms around him and licked him on the chest.
"I need you to fuck me, Neville. Please, I can't think of anything else."
She pleaded with him so sweetly, her small hands grabbing at his flesh, pulling him close to her. He couldn't resist her begging and tugged her down to the ground, laying on his back so she wouldn't have to be on the greenhouse floor. Wrapping her legs around him, she sank down onto his hard cock slowly. It was pure, agonizing bliss, being wrapped in the warm, wet heat of her as the water from above rained down on them. Her hair hung in wet tendrils around her face, and her skin was slick and slippery. He lifted one hand to grab her by the hip and steady her movements. The other he brought to her clit and began to circle the little nub. The first touch made her nearly levitate off of him as she moaned, but he held her tightly, forcing her to take her pleasure.
"Come on me. Come all over me,"
Neville found himself chanting, barely aware of the words coming out of his mouth.
"You're so beautiful like this, wild and wet and so fucking perfect. Come all over me."
Pansy could no longer form coherent sentences, only moaning as she writhed atop him. He was relentless. He wanted to claim her entire body. The dip of her waist, the soft curve of her breast and hips, the saucy pout of her lips, her sharp tongue and glittering dark eyes. Everything of her was his. Everything of his was hers. When she came, she screamed, clenching tightly around him. He came a moment later, unable to stop himself from filling her. Water kept falling down around them as she leaned against his chest, their breathing beginning to synchronize and slow as they came down from their high.
"Are you okay?" Neville finally asked, stroking her naked back. "I didn't want to hurt you."
She pulled herself up and looked directly at him. Her makeup was a mess after their lovemaking, the water still pouring down on them, a muddy handprint on her perfect breasts, but she'd never looked lovelier to him.
"You could never. You would never," Pansy said in a serious tone,
bringing her hand up to caress the side of his face. He turned his head, leaning into her gentle touch. Her fingers smelled of damp earth and growing things.
"I love you so much, Pansy."
"And I love you,"
she replied, her tone matter-of-fact. She shifted on top of him, and he felt himself beginning to respond, the subtle movement of her cunt making his cock start to swell. He blushed and pressed a kiss to the palm of her hand.
"I'm glad, as I think the pollen still hasn't quite worn off," he said in a sheepish tone.
"Oh, really?" she asked, flexing her muscles around him. "Whatever shall we do?"
"I can think of a few things," he suggested,
sliding a hand down to grasp at the soft curve of her arse.
"This time I want you to be on top."
He wrapped his arms around her, happy to oblige. 3 weeks later, Pansy and Neville stood next to the enormous Christmas tree they'd decorated with green and gold twinkling lights in the living room of his Hogsmeade cottage. He pulled a small package wrapped in silver paper from the pocket of his trousers and got down on one knee before handing it to her. She said yes, and they made love on the rug in front of the fire as the snow fell outside. Soon they would be husband and wife. He kept a pair of the mistletoe plants in the NEWT-level greenhouse, and students were only allowed in if they'd mastered the bubblehead charm.